Thank you. All right, so I'll go ahead and get us started. I wanted to go ahead and just frame up this issue of access to healthy food by first starting out, I think one experience that you'll have in Oakland, where our office is based, that you'll also have in cities across the country, is that there are certain communities where you can leave your home, walk a few blocks, and find yourself at a grocery store, walk a few blocks in another direction, see a produce market. There are lots of places in the community where you can buy healthy food. And in those same areas, you'll also see communities where people can walk outside their front doors and go block after block after block, and there's no grocery store. There may be fast food restaurants, there may be liquor stores, there may be convenience stores, but it's really challenging to find a place where you can purchase healthy food. PolicyLink and partners at the Food Trust looked at this issue in a report called The Grocery Gap that's available on our website, which is www.policylink.org. And we looked at more than 130 different studies that researchers from across the country have done looking at this issue. And they saw several things. First of all is they saw that in terms of communities most affected, this tends to be low-income communities, communities of color, and also rural communities. And then there are also lots of researchers who have looked at this issue in terms of what does it mean to lack access to healthy food in terms of health outcomes. And the first thing you see is that there's a clear relationship in study after study between having access to healthy food and people in these communities making healthier choices about their diets. I'll just give a couple of examples. One researcher found that in rural Mississippi, adults living in counties without supermarkets were 23% less likely to meet guidelines for daily fruit and vegetable consumption compared to adults living in counties with supermarkets. In a different study, the researchers found that African Americans living in a census tract with a supermarket were more likely to meet dietary guidelines for fruit and vegetable consumption, and that for every supermarket in a tract, produce consumption rose 32%. And you see this over and over again. There are fewer studies that have looked at this other issue, but some researchers have also looked at the relationship between access to healthy food and obesity and diabetes. And of course, we know there are lots of issues that contribute to obesity, but it certainly seems that access to healthy food is one important contributing factor. Just a couple of examples on that front. A study found that adding a new grocery store to a neighborhood translated into a 3-pound weight decrease. And another study actually conducted by PolicyLink and UCLA and a nonprofit, the California Center for Health, Public Health Advocacy, found that in California, obesity and diabetes rates were 20% higher for those living in the least healthy food environments, where there were far more convenience stores and fast food restaurants relative to grocery stores and produce markets. And this is an important issue. I won't linger too long on this because I'm sure many of you are familiar with these slides, but these are some maps that I'll be showing you. You can see across the bottom, the lighter blue areas show where there are the lowest rates of obesity. The dark blue, you're getting into higher rates of obesity, and then the yellow, orange, and red, you're getting into the highest rates. And so what you see is 1985, where there was data, the country was really in kind of the lighter blue range. Skip forward a decade, and you see that a huge portion of the country has moved into the dark blue range. And then just over a decade later, you see that the country has moved almost entirely into the yellow, orange, and red range. So these really dramatic increases in obesity. And we also know that low-income communities and communities of color are particularly affected. So we've heard about the relationship between access to healthy food and better health outcomes, but I want to stress that there are other benefits to having access to healthy food as well. Grocery stores can serve as an anchor for economic development. Oftentimes they'll create jobs, but you'll also see that a grocery store will go up, and because of all the increased foot traffic around that grocery store, other stores will sprout up next to that store. in the case of efforts to take corner stores and get them to start selling healthier food, you see that something that's been a problem for a community can get transformed into more of a community asset. And there are also some really exciting things happening in terms of connecting consumers to farmers, in terms of farmers markets, in terms of urban agriculture. So this has been really a problem for decades, and communities across the country have been innovating different solutions. And there are some reports on the PolicyLink website that highlight some of these solutions that have emerged. But what you've really seen is that communities will fight really hard to get a grocery store in place or to get a farmer's market or whatever it may be, but it's fight after fight after fight. There's been no way to really take this to scale and make it easier for lots of different communities to be able to see these different opportunities for improved food access. And so something that happened back in 2004 that's been really exciting was a model emerged that could address this issue at a much larger scale. So the model is called the Pennsylvania Fresh Food Financing Initiative. And really it was the Food Trust and the Reinvestment Fund who kind of innovated this model. And what they realized was that they had conversations involving local advocates and involving the grocery industry. And they realized that there were these higher initial startup costs for grocers. So if you think about it, there is this model that's emerged over time where grocery stores often have this model. It's a huge store, it's got a huge parking lot, and they locate way out in the suburbs. And so when you think of how does that work if you're talking about a dense urban community where you've got land that may be owned by multiple owners, there may be issues of environmental remediation, there are all these things that make it more expensive for them to locate in dense urban low-income areas. In rural areas, you might also see this issue where it's really difficult to access credit. So there may be a store that needs to make some improvements to their store, but they are challenged to figure out how do we get the loan funding to be able to do what we want to do to see this happen. So in Pennsylvania, what they did is the state invested $30 million into what they called a Fresh Food Financing Initiative that would provide mostly loans, a little bit of grants, some new markets tax credits to help get grocery stores, farmers markets, other types of food retail started. But it would be one-time support, and after that, the store would have to be able to support itself. And they saw amazing results. So with that $30 million that the state invested, they were able to develop projects that cost $194 million. So huge private investment that they were able to attract through a little bit of seed money. This led to 85 new or improved grocery stores or other types of food retail, from corner stores, farmers markets, wide range of things. 400,000 residents with increased access to healthy food. And this is also about job creation and retention as well. More than 5,000 jobs created or retained. There are efforts underway to replicate this model in other states. I've listed a few of them here. They're actually more than what I've listed, but this gives you a flavor for what's beginning to happen across the country. And then about 2 years ago, PolicyLink, the Food Trust, and the Reinvestment Fund decided to partner together to figure out how can we collaborate to figure out a way to try and take this to the federal level so that more communities across the country who need this can benefit from this. And we collaborated, had lots of conversations with folks at the White House, with folks in Congress, people within the various agencies that might be potentially relevant, and with a lot of stakeholder organizations that helped us think about the policy and advocate for the need for the policy. And we were really excited in February of this past year to see that President Obama proposed $345 million for a healthy food financing initiative for the nation. And the way this was structured in the budget proposal was that it would be administered by three agencies. And you'll see here, USDA would be contributing $50 million, Health and Human Services $20 million, and then the CDFI Fund, which stands for Community Development Financial Institution, through Treasury would be contributing $25 million through the CDFI Financial and Technical Assistance Fund, and then another $250 million through the New Markets Tax Credits Program that would be specifically designated for Healthy Food Financing Initiative projects. And here's some of the key features. It would be structured very similar to what was done in Pennsylvania, but it's important to note that this would address the need for access to healthy foods in underserved, low-income, rural, suburban, and urban communities. So it's not just an urban program. They've done lots of work in rural areas in Pennsylvania, and the national initiative would be structured that way as well. It would also provide for a mix of financing tools, everything from loans, loan guarantees, grants, New Markets Tax Credits. One thing that they found in Pennsylvania was that you really need to have lots of tools in your toolbox to be able to make these projects happen and get them going. And then finally, it has also been set up to have a lot of flexibility so that you can use this to address supermarket access. You can also help small grocers. You can work with farmers markets, co-ops. Lots of different models can potentially receive funding through this effort. I'll just mention briefly that the First Lady's Let's Move initiative, she's made the Healthy Food Financing Initiative one of the four pillars of that initiative. Separate from the budget track, there's this complementary track of marker bill legislation that'll be introduced, I would say, within the next couple of months. You'll see the lead sponsors listed in the Senate and the House. I'm very pleased to say that a Republican on the House side has agreed to co-sponsor, which is huge given the election that we just saw. We're really pleased to see that as well. So there's both the budget and the legislation that are moving, and I think give us some good reasons for optimism for the progress of this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this except to say that the various appropriations subcommittees have met and have recommended appropriating almost all of what the president requested in his budget proposal. Treasury, through the CDFI fund, has actually released a NOFA, which may surprise you since the money hasn't formally been passed through the budget. And this is really, it's subject to funds availability, but you should know that NOFA is out now. Really, community development financial institutions are the only ones that can apply for this portion of the Healthy Food Financing Initiative money. So if you know CDFIs in your community and want to sort of reach out to them, they can apply this and kind of get this going in your communities. There will be additional HFFI NOFAs from the other agencies as well as Treasury for the New Markets Tax Credits portion of the Healthy Food Financing Initiative, assuming things continue to progress well. And the main thing that I wanted to emphasize to all of you is that this is making really good progress, but it still needs to pass through Congress. And so it's really critical for legislators to continue to hear from their constituents that there's a need for this and that this is a really promising model. So I wanted to take the chance now to encourage all of you to go to the policylink.org website. There's a button you can click that says take action, and you can take 5 minutes or less to email your legislator and tell them why you see the need for this in your community. It really can make a difference in terms of their willingness to step out and support these kinds of initiatives. And with that, I'll close. Thanks so much.